King Wenceslas last looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even. Brightly shone the moon at night, though the frost was cruel, when a poor man came in sight, gathering winter fuel.
Hither, page, and stand by me, if thou know'st its telling. Yonder peasant, who is he? Where and what his dwelling?
Sire, he lives a good league hence, underneath a mountain, right against the forest fence, by St. Agnes Fountain.
Bring me mead and bring me wine, bring me pine logs hither. Thou and I will see him dine when we bear him thither. Page and monarch, forth they went together, through the rude winds, wild lament, and the bitter weather.
Sire, the night is darker now, and the wind blows stronger. Feels my heart, I know not how, I can go no longer.
Mark my footsteps, my good page, tread thou in them boldly. Thou shalt find the winter's rage freeze thy blood less coldly.
In his master's steps he trod, where the snow lay dinted. Heat was in the very sod which the saint had printed. Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor, shall yourselves find blessing.
Hello again. Throughout the week, we've been listening to the Christmas carol, Good King Wenceslas, rousingly sung by the Irish Rovers.
On Friday, we left the page confessing to his master that he just couldn't go any further on their mission of mercy to feed the family of the poor man Wenceslas had seen gathering sticks. No doubt he was now suffering from exhaustion and bordering on hypothermia. We don't know how old the lad was, but pages were usually the sons of noble families who were being trained up and educated in the homes of others of the same or higher rank. So he was probably, at the most, in his early teens. Being the kind and caring man that Wenceslas clearly was, you might have expected him to drop all their burdens in the snow, hoist the boy on his shoulders, and piggyback him all the way back to the castle, since he was obviously stronger than his page, and perhaps at the same time he should have been deeply regretting such a venture in the first place. It's unlikely he had completed a risk assessment. But Wenceslas responds in the most unexpected way. He tells his page to walk in his footsteps. Can you imagine what the lad must have been thinking? Your legs are a lot longer than mine, and I've now got to stretch out to holes that probably go deeper than I can make myself, since you're also heavier than me. Just how is that going to freeze my blood less coldly? Other than that the page was not coping with the situation, we know next to nothing about the life or character of this young person. But one thing we do know is that he was obedient. He didn't stand there in the snow with hands on hips saying, "Really?" He simply did as he was told. We also know nothing about how the miracle of the thermal footprints came about. In the end, I believe miracles are only ever about the relationship between the giver and the receiver. They aren't for the public domain to be judged like contestants on X Factor. Wenceslas yet again asked his master for advice, and having received his instructions, he faithfully passed them on to the one who had to follow them. And just like Naaman, who could choose whether or not to follow Elisha's instructions for curing his leprosy and take the risk of completely losing face, the page received his instructions and followed them. To his amazement, he found himself warming up with every step. For us, the story stops there. For the poor man and his family, it was just beginning. We know the gist of the story of Good King Wenceslas is almost certainly true, since it was well documented at the time. And since Wenceslas was famous and beloved for his extreme generosity, it would seem likely that it was the page's account about the unexplainable that made the story become famous. But whether you believe in the miraculous or not, what can we take from this story about a man who lived hundreds of years ago? The last stanza of the last verse reads, "Therefore, Christian men, be sure, wealth or rank possessing, ye who now will bless the poor shall yourselves find blessing." This was the conclusion added by the Victorian poet and priest John Mason Neale in 1853, and could easily be misconstrued to mean, if you give to the poor and needy, God will automatically reward you and give you back what you gave. Well, he will, but seldom in a material way. No, the sacrifice of giving is just that, a sacrifice. What we gain, always, is far more precious in terms of learning the disciplines of patience, kindness, faithfulness, and obedience. And faithfulness and obedience are, to my mind, what this story is all about. Paul, when writing to the Philippians, reminded them, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon himself the form of a servant, who was made in the likeness of men." Jesus was obedient to his Father, and Wenceslas was obedient to his heavenly Lord and Master, and this in turn allowed the page boy to learn humility and obedience to his earthly master. And from these examples we can learn about blessing. Blessing is not just the reward for being good or serving others, but the deep and authentic blessing that comes from serving and obeying our Heavenly Master. May God's blessing rest upon you and all you love. Amen.